you know, there are things that are out of your control. You can't control how a coach responds, who he puts on the rink, what happens, but you can respond and react to how you act, how you care, how you carry yourself. And I think it's been, while it's sad and frustrating on our parts of us as parents, the growth and the learning that's come from that is definitely going to help him moving forward to college and moving on. And I can see that in the way parents compliment him and in his communication and the things that he's able to do as, you know, a 17-year-old young man.
Welcome to the Super Sports Mom Podcast, a place for all moms of many and mighty athletes to get support and insights into the world of sports. This is your place to learn, grow, and laugh. I am a sports dietitian, former elite athlete, and newbie sports mom, inviting you to adventure together. This podcast is sponsored by Eat This for Performance, the home of champions. Hello and welcome to episode 15 of the SSM podcast. I'm your host, Pearl Nirenberg, and today I bring you Peter Dale of Farm Tough Hockey. Peter was a really fantastic interview. He gave us so many golden nuggets. I'm going to share with you a few of what they are, but you're going to get the full version in the interview. You won't want to miss. Peter owns a unique ice hockey and roller hockey training facility in Wisconsin, and he calls it Farm Tough Hockey. And it literally is some barns that look amazing. I want to go train there. He delves into a few topics. He's a dad to two hockey players, so he definitely has some wisdom to share there, and as a coach. And so he was telling us a bit about red flags that your athlete may have a bad coach. And I know this has happened before too many, so you may want to be looking for these red flags, how communication debriefings can help you and your athlete. If you don't know what a communication debriefing is, he gives us some idea. And then his three-step process to building self-confidence, which he rolls into my personal fave because he shows us his three-step process in how he builds self-confidence through sports nutrition habits. Of course, I love that one because I am Eat This for Performance and we love sports nutrition here. So he tells us about a super success story in using that three-step process to building self-confidence using food. And here at Eat This for Performance, we have a saying that the complete athlete eats for performance. And I have to say, if there is one saying, quote, website, whatever you, however you want to capture this, that encompasses what it is to be a complete athlete, it is written on Farm Tough Hockey's website. So I actually start this interview by reading the website. So you will want to hear this as well because it is just too good. So I will roll the interview and I encourage you to reach out and let us know what you thought. Please rate the podcast if you love this material and if you love these interviews so that we get more of a viewership, more people hearing these great words of wisdom. So here you go. Enjoy.
So I am here with Peter Dale and Farm Tough, and I'm really excited to interview you, Peter. Thank you for coming on the Super Sports Mom podcast.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. I love all the super cool moms, and I think what you guys are doing is awesome.
Honestly, the stories I've heard, we have some amazing super moms in this group. So they need to know about what you're doing because it's unique and it's touching. So it's so unique that I have to read off your website. You'll have to forgive me. It'll take a second, okay. But it's too good. So I love this. You'll go on farmtoughhockey.com and you go to pharmacology and it says the principles of pharmacology.
Yes.
Okay. So let me read right from your website. I love this. Pharmacology is the art of blending old school virtues and values with the lifestyle of the 21st century. It's about respecting your past in order to shape your future. It's born from your vision of who you are and who you want to be. Now, if that's not inspiring, I don't know what is. But then it goes on. Pharmacology is about developing an awareness of your strengths and weaknesses in order to improve and grow. This approach blends gritty effort and a desire for greatness with passionate enthusiasm and a respect for life, which I love. I love that one. And then it goes on, Pharmatology celebrates the value of honest hard work, which breeds accomplishment, and self-reliant individuals. Our shared experiences make up a community of like-minded people who understand the value and significance of family and friendship. We live by the philosophy, the better you get, the more fun you have. We strive to create consistency over time, proving that small changes create long-term positive habits. So pharmatology at its essence can be summed up this way: dig deep, work hard, give thanks, believe in yourself, and you will be rewarded. We are farm tough. Honestly, that is the most inspiring like one pager that I've read on a website ever. So congratulations for putting that out there, but it just makes me want to sign up for whatever you offer right on the spot. So how did you come up with this? This is amazing.
Well, so it's funny that you say that, because we sort of coined the word pharmatology one day after. So sort of back up, like in 2007, we purchased, my wife and I, this old farm. So it's this 5-acre farm, and we converted the barns into a hockey training center. And before that time, I was teaching camps and traveling around the country. And then when we had kids, it was like, man, you know, I don't want to travel so much. We got to stay home. And this sort of, it was just one of those things where a kid that I was training had a property and they were selling this, and it just sort of matched up. And it was like, wow, this is really cool. So I sort of say it's kind of like, it's like young blood meets Rocky kind of style. And so we were at actually a hockey tournament one day, and it was an outdoor hockey tournament in Illinois. And so we had all the team, and we were sitting at this sort of just community diner type of place. And we were sitting, and all of a sudden, like the town mayor and some of their people came in and introduced themselves and asked what we were doing here and if we were, you know, we enjoying our time in their town. And so they sat down, and we just like started just having this discussion, and we were eating and having this great food. And it was just sort of this sort of pharmatology kind of concept kind of came. We started talking about just this idea of, you know, already of the things that we were doing, but really sort of more poignant about, you know, community and friends and sharing, and, you know, older people and sharing their wisdom and their values and talking about the things that we did. And we sort of got on the talk about Farm Tough, and they thought it was cool. And we sort of just sort of kind of that day really kind of penned the term sort of pharmatology of just this whole kind of blending of these old school ideas with, you know, still trying to be progressive and new school with kids and people. And I think for us, what we've really, you know, we're really about just trying to create positive habits. And so we utilize our sports and our training as a tool to be able to do that.
I like hear you 100% about the farming aspect being some like a throwback, right? Because not a lot of people are in touch with farms. I see this in sports nutrition, where people don't even know like where potato chips come from. They can't imagine a potato in the ground. They're so disconnected with the packaging, the processing of food from the farm. And that idea that, you know, it's something that we can get in touch with physically and be there and be surrounded by this history we have with, and we still do have, but we're a little disconnected from. So do you find that it brings it connection? Is that central?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it just gets definitely, it's a good conversation starter. It's people that go on and say, hey, you know, I saw your website. I really like your message. I think it's something that's positive that they say, you know, I'd like my kids to be around that. I think they need to hear it more. I think when you're a sports parent and things like that, you know, you're always trying to give advice to your kids. You're always trying to point them in the right direction. And I think you find out that the majority of them think, you know, my kid doesn't want to listen to me. You know, I tell them the same story, but when you hear it from somebody else, you know, it means something more to them. So I think it really helps kind of bridge that gap for parents and for people to say, hey, here's somebody that I think maybe believes what I do and can sort of get that message across a different way.
Yes. A belief system. I think, yeah, we need that, because a lot of the times I would say the associations themselves don't create that.
Yeah, I think it's tough. You know, I think when kids get into associations and things, there's, you know, it's sort of a love hate. You sort of love it, but you kind of hate it because you think that everybody's really in there kind of jockeying and positioning for their kid. And whether it's playing time or being on, you know, the A team, B team, C team, there's just a lot of, you know, it's just, it's different now. It's just, everyone is just kind of uptight and everybody's sort of in their own little bubble, kind of living in their own little world and sort of reach out a little bit here. So, you know, we try to do things where we really kind of bring kids and people and families and stuff together. And we use sports as that tool.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of the reasons why I'm so happy to have you speaking to the parents and the athletes that are listening, because I think that is the one of the main like core things that we're trying to address here at Eat This for Performance with the SSM podcast, is that idea that there's someone alone sitting in the stands watching their child thinking they're alone. And there actually are communities forming of really positive ones to support you. I'm speaking now directly to, you know, the person who's listening, so that, you know, there's someone like, you know, Peter, like this is, I think it's tremendous. Could you share with us some of the stories that have come through your either a camp or someone you've worked with that would kind of speak to that and speak to your philosophy?
Yeah, I think, you know what, I mean, and it's just recently in the stuff, a lot of times during this time of season, while we're in hockey season and things like that, I do a lot of small group and I do a lot of private training stuff here at the farm. And I really like that because it gives me an opportunity to connect with the kids. But what I'm finding with a lot of these players and parents is just, there's a lot of just self-confidence being kind of being trampled on a little bit, whether it's from the coaches that are a little too hardcore and expect all of this stuff out of the kids, to even some of the kids and players who, you know, bully kids or new kids that might be less experienced than others who, you know, people make fun of because they think they're not as good at, you know. So what we really try to do is to create that confidence. And I think that's one of the things that we've been successful with. And that's sort of, I'm kind of on this personal, I think, kind of tirade right now of, I'm just really tired of bad coaches. And in this world that we live in with all of these now paid coaches and all of these so-called expert coaches that played college sports or played pro stuff, it's really breaking down these kids. And I've watched it happen countless times with kids as young as, you know, 10 years old as, you know, high school and college types of kids. So I think we have to change what's expected of coaches, and coaches really need to start understanding the importance and value of what they do and just how much of an impact positively or negatively that they really are having on kids. And it's something that I see with a lot of kids and people that come here and talk about that with me.
So what can we do? Like, what if we're faced with a situation where, I mean, maybe you could even speak to some of the red flags that would be like, you would see if your child is suffering with under a coach and not flourishing and it's due to the coaching, what would be some of those red flags? And then what can we do about it?
Yeah. I mean, I think some of the red flags that certainly stand out are, you know, kids that, you know, they don't no longer really want to go to practice. They don't seem very interested. You know, they lose eye contact with you, that, you know, their friends, they don't seem to, you know, want to hang out or go over any, you know, to somebody's house or hang out with the kids after a game or something like that. And I mean, it's a real thing in our society that, you know, we've placed so much expectations on kids that, you know, and even from school to sports, that sort of getting away from that, the support that they really need. And, you know, parents as well, I think sometimes they, you know, like, hey, I'm not a hockey person, I didn't grow up playing hockey or whatever that sport may be. You know, I see my son or my daughter, you know, they're down, they've sort of lost that, you know, that itch or the bug, and, you know, their confidence seems low, and, you know, they need a pick me up. And they're not getting it in the environment that they're in, you know? And when they bring that to me, obviously the first thing, you know, you always want to go and talk to the coach. Sometimes the coach may be, you know, may mean well, but just may need a little reminder. Sometimes it's not the case and you need to go to the association and say, I'm having this issue. And, you know, there are just, unfortunately, sometimes bad coaches who do things for the wrong reasons, and they probably shouldn't be coaching our kids. And then, you know, if I'm running an organization, I certainly would like to know if there's a coach in my organization that fits that description, because that needs to be changed. And then, you know, there needs just to help kids with positive reinforcement, with positive talk, with more mental visualizations and things to that effect, just to give them tools and a framework that they can feel good about themselves. And I think those things are important.
Do you see, like, the, when you see these red flags go up, that, like, we're too quick to jump to the conclusion that maybe they just don't like the sport anymore? That'd be my, like, is sometimes is it like we're just falling out of love with the sport, or do you think it's maybe like there's a time where we have to help evaluate that, and or like you said, address like a bad coaching situation? Just curious about, like, how would you know the difference?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely the time to gather the facts. You know, do you really not like playing the sport that you're playing? Do you still like it, but you're just not having fun, you know, with this group of kids or this coach in particular? And again, I think all of these things come through communication, which, as we know today, and anybody listening to this on a phone or on a computer, right, we're so caught up with devices that a lot of times the communication is been cut off. And to sort of segue back to pharmacology, that's the idea of, you know, we're sitting in a kitchen and our phones are in a basket and we're just talking face to face, and you're learning how to communicate and express those ideas so that, you know, you as a parent can have, you know, a better understanding of, number one, you know, what's normal? Is this normal? You know, and two, for your child to have sort of a open dialogue to you, to be able to communicate, you know, I know I have two sons that are 14 and 17. So I have a freshman in high school and a senior in high school. And, you know, we have debriefings that we call all the time about practice, about games, about kids, about coaches, about things like that. And it's really helped us grow closer together and open that door. And I've seen that be able to give them the confidence and the knowledge to be able to go talk to a coach or a teacher, or to be able to do that, because I think kids, they don't do that very well anymore.
No. And actually, I think parents don't do it very well either, right? So I'm not to like put down parents, but I've heard stories about how parents are learning not to talk, like to coach their kids. And that's like a positive thing, right? We don't want to tell our kids everything they're not doing well in a game or a practice, because that becomes negative, and just step back and just let them enjoy the game. But when you talk about communicating debriefings, can you talk us through like maybe more specifics on some of that, so we can get like, is there a certain time that you would do a debriefing, not one time versus another, way you would bring it up, so it's less, you know, less negative, more positive?
Yeah, I mean, so for us, you know, a lot of it happens, you know, I think parents and people just have that, you know, your son or your daughter comes home from school and you're like, how was your day? And they all say fine and go about and, you know, probably jump on their device and answer their Snapchats and do whatever. But, you know, what we like to, we've sort of instituted a rule that when we're in the kitchen, that's sort of like our place. So phones are off. We don't want them face down on the counter. We just get rid of them. And, you know, we talk. And for my senior, you know, he's in a place where the coaching and the environment around his program, it's a little toxic. It's a little intimidation, you know, and coaching by intimidation and fear such that not only do players not want to talk to coaches or feel like they can, but parents can't say anything. They don't have communication with the coach on a regular basis. Nobody can say anything for fear that their son will, you know, not play or, you know, get quote unquote blackballed, that type of stuff. So it's that type of an environment. And we've been in it for 4 years, and it's really tough. Because, you know, you see, you know, our son who say he was a senior and, you know, a freshman or somebody else who's new, but is their parents or friends with the coaches, you know, you start, everyone, you know, is familiar with politics and how things work and stuff. So for us, it's really been trying to figure out, you know, and wrestle with, you know, is this fun anymore? I'm not having fun. Do I want to, you know, quit playing hockey? Do I want to, you know, cut my losses and move on and get ready for lacrosse and roller hockey season and things like that? So these are like pretty deep conversations that we've had with understanding, you know, his feelings, his thoughts, you know, and I think from our standpoint is trying to get him to understand it's, you know, there are things that are out of your control. You can't, You can't control how a coach responds, who he puts on the rink, what happens, but you can respond and react to how you act, how you care, how you carry yourself. And I think it's been, while it's sad and frustrating on our parts of us as parents, the growth and the learning that's come from that is definitely going to help him moving forward to college and moving on. And I can see that in the way parents compliment him and his communication and the things that he's able to do as, you know, a 17-year-old young man. We take more pride in that, even though it's sad and it doesn't, I don't think, need to happen the way that it's happened over the last 4 years. But, you know, I think we all have battles that we're all facing and have to try to figure out how to support your kids the best way you can. And, you know, it's something that we still, you know, continue to try to work on every day.
Yeah, I hear this struggle a lot, and certainly we talk like about the politics and how, you know, sometimes you feel like you're getting the short end of that. But I don't think there's an athlete that, you know, even the ones that go to the highest level possible, come out unscathed by politics. It's almost setting you up for, you know, what goes on in every industry in the world and in your professional fields as well. So I do think those are great like lessons to learn early and how to navigate that and how to show up yourself, like no matter what happens, how to keep showing up.
Yes. So definitely. And important, tell the parents, you got to keep talking to your kids because, you know, there's just too much where, you know, they're A-roll. They all post A-roll stuff, A-roll videos, A-roll pictures of everything being great when it's not always, you know. And it's, you know, parents that always post, they always post a picture of their son or daughter, you know, when they win a game, but they never say anything about when they lose a game, you know. Right. And it's, you know, or they have to post about, you know, that my son's playing AAA ice hockey this weekend versus your son's just playing hockey this weekend. There's always this extra stuff that we've added to it and created to it to try to make ourselves all look better and sound better and do that. And, you know, at the end of the day, they're kids, they're playing a game, you know, and while some strive to play at a higher level than others, you still have to keep some things in check. And I wish Facebook and social media would ban certain words. I wish AAA and elite and all of these other types of words that everybody likes to throw out just got banished.
Mm-hmm. So we're not ranking ourselves.
Yeah.
And at an early age, it's like that you started seeing like 10, 11, 12, like this. Okay. Like, and that's when I see like my moms and dads reaching out to me being like, oh, we're getting into that AAA land or elite, like, you know, and we want to know what to do. Well, whether you're elite or not, like if you're eating for performance, if you're training for performance, if you're setting your mindset, like you said, if you're having that communication, for, you know, the mind that's solid, then you're going to create a great athlete, a great person.
Right. Imagine if you were like, I'm a AAA eater, right? What does that mean? I have good habits. I eat at the highest level, you know, the cleanest foods, and I do the best, right? You know, like it doesn't, like it should just be, you can be an athlete. An athlete should encompass all of those things, you know,
a
good eater and, you know, that type of stuff. So,
well, we see it too. Like some parents are posting certain meals and stuff and showcasing what they're doing. And we wonder sometimes like internally, okay, we need to post some of the like really simple ideas that people eat that are still, you know, solid and have all the key ingredients we're looking for and not these elaborate, cooked five meals in one day kind of thing. And because that's not everyone's reality that they could do that. So
yeah. I think that's a great point. Again, the A roll that always is, look at this great meal, you know, it's like a five star, like who, and everyone's thinking, who has time to make that? Who has time to do that? How can I do that? And then you basically feel worse about yourself and trying to go, oh wow, you know, and here I was only able to, you know, give Tommy a, you know, peanut butter jelly sandwich and a glass of milk, you know,
which we love.
Right. Exactly.
And it's good for him. So, I know that's one of the things actually, that you're doing with the kids, right? Like we talked about that, I think last year where you did do some activities like at the camp with, teaching them some basic nutrition, like recipes and things they could do on their own. Can you talk me through some of the stuff that you're doing that's like, you know, pretty, I know it's pretty unique, like, so yeah. Especially the food stuff. I know I haven't heard that a lot.
Well, the biggest thing that I try to do, right, I think with everything, right, we're trying to get kids to make better decisions. And in order to make a better decision, you first have to know is, what are you currently doing, right? And so usually with younger kids, we tell them to make a 3-day journal. With older kids, we'll go up to 5 days or 7 days and just write down everything that they eat and drink and what time that they do it. And what it does is sort of now creates this sort of, and we tell them, don't cheat. Don't write down something that you didn't, or this isn't for, it's not going to be judged. It's not going to be graded, but you have to be honest with yourself. I mean, you have to be, listen, if you came home and had a bag of Doritos, you know, and a pack of Skittles and a Mountain Dew, then you have to come clean. And mm-hmm. So what we do after that is then we just sort of look at that and we sort of help them kind of frame up like their points in their day where you say, okay, look, we get up at this time. I leave to go to school at this time. My lunch is at this time. I get out of school at this time. Practice is usually at this time. And we sort of kind of try to create like nutrition blocks or fuel blocks where we can say, hey, listen, like in your journal, right? It was like 6 hours before you had your last meal. Like that's too long. And so we really try to just help kids look at the time frame, look at the fuel that they're bringing in and try to ask themselves a question. Is this a good choice? Number one, is it the meal time or is it a snack time? Is it time to have a meal or is it time to have a snack? And if it's a meal or if it's a snack, what makes up a good meal? What makes up a good snack? If I'm on the go, how do I take it with me? How do I pack it and bring it with me? And so, and we just try to get them to make, you know, better ideas. You know, we don't advocate, I'm not trying to tell you need to be on a keto diet or you need to do, you know, no gluten or you need to do, you know, the South Beach this or that, or, you know, it's not really me to judge and tell you to eat dairy or don't eat dairy. We're just trying to get kids to make better decisions, right? Mm-hmm. Drink less soda, drink, you know, put better foods into your body and think about what it is and what, how you're using it. Because it is a fuel source to get you ready for school or for practice or to help you recover in between games or on a tournament weekend. So I think when we do it to that effect, it sort of, it gives them a little more realistic tool of, okay, at least I'm kind of aware of what I'm doing now. Now it's time to create action and figure out, you know, how to take it with me, when to do it, and with the goal of trying to make it become a habit. Mm-hmm. That's one of the three steps that we use. Awareness, right? To become aware of something, take action on how to improve it, and in turn then try to create a habit. So awareness, action, habit is sort of our sort of three-step kind of process.
Beautiful. Yeah. I mean, and this is key to any life skill. So like that you're like hockey or in roller hockey, but you're a coach bringing in like the aspects of a complete athlete and teaching how to make it stick, that, I mean, it's, that's a level if you want to give yourself a, but you know what? Like it's something that every coach could be doing and like just misses that opportunity to help bring up the completeness of the picture and bringing in nutrition. So do you notice that, do you see a change from when you have kids that start with you that are bringing in their journal and you see all kinds of issues with what they're doing. And maybe they're not even aware of it. So you bring awareness to their issues, their holes, their poor food choices, or they bring awareness to it. And then do you see a difference in their energy levels or anything that's like noticeable? Do they come to you afterwards and say like that this has been a game changer for them just to do some simple nutrition tweaks?
Yeah. So a few things come to mind. So one is, I mean, I think what we find when we start doing that is the parents sort of seem to be more engaged because I think the majority of parents know and say, you know what, I need to be a little better too. So it's really helpful for us because, you know, normally, you know, God love the moms, we need them and they're the keys. They usually help, you know, bring food into the house and do things and help set things up and they definitely keep us straight. So that bridge for that is great. And I think that opens that. With the kids, what I really find, where I see it the most is when we're away at tournaments because they'll know, hey, we only have, you know, 3 hours before our next game, you know, no fried foods, no cheese, right? So they know these things now where they start saying, hey, we can't be doing these things that aren't going to digest or sit in our stomach or doing things like that. And so it's a easy way and a fun way that that I can see it in action, where they're consciously sort of thinking about what it is that they're doing. And definitely probably about 2 years ago, I started working with a very high level hockey athlete who's playing Division I ice hockey right now at Quinnipiac. And off to it, he's a freshman there. And the first thing that we did when he had come over to train was the number one thing was do our food journal and get his diet figured out and start looking at the times of day that he was eating and drinking and what he was. And that alone changed his world. And that's become something that's long-term change that is definitely something that if you're not a healthy eater and you're not, you know, on the norm, you're going to notice it right away. And he did. And it's been something that's really propelled him. And when he's back for winter break, you know, we always laugh about it and talk about, you know, just some of the habits that they had that needed to get cleaned up and what a difference that it's made.
Amazing. I think that if we take, and this is just one life skill, right? Nutrition, but any other major skills that you want to talk about? Because you take on the well-rounded athlete on the farm.
Yeah. I mean, for us, I'm sort of big into systems and big into just sort of trying to make things simple and easy. And for us, all of our training is four things. It's the skills aspect of it. It's the fitness aspect of it. The mental, which is sort of what we've talked about a little bit before. So we actually have a complete mental program that really helps give kids a framework. It's sort of the internal dialogue, how they think, power thoughts, power animals, power focus. We create these things for the kids. And then we tie that together with nutrition. So those four things for us are really important. And we try to bring them out in everything that we do.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, no, I can see that. And I can see like in the principles of pharmacology, like you kind of hit on that. So I love it. It's what I coach too. I have my peak performance pyramid. It's like you got to address all those aspects in coaching, because if one's way out of line, your athlete's not peaking. And it's getting everything like the mindset work, the nutrition, the I do visualization, and then of course the training and the playing. So, and then you guys get to play, right? The farm, like talk about the setup a little bit before we finish out here. So yeah. I want to like get a visual on like what you got set up there.
So we have three barns on the property, and two of them are set up as training centers. So our big barn, we actually have three shooting lanes in it. So that's where we really do all of our skills work and our skating. And then we also in the spring and summer have a roller floor that we put into an ice facility. That's not too far away. So we take advantage of small space training and practicing at the farm, as well as the big rink training. And the combination of the two are great. And I would say before we actually had a big rink, all of our roller club teams in the spring, we would literally just practice in the farm. And I would say when we started about 5 years ago, our teams used to just get beat pretty bad, and there's a mercy rule in roller hockey. So after eight goals for anybody that's 10 and older, the game would end. So, you know, we would get beat up pretty bad, but over the years of just really disciplined and playing and practicing in this small space, now we go back and some of our teams are some of the best teams in the country. You know, people used to say, you know, they didn't believe us. We'd say, well, we practice in a barn, and they would say, no, come on. And we're like, yeah. So it kind of worked out well for us, because if we lost, well, we practice in a barn. So you can't really fault us. And if we happen to win, it's kind of on your bad, because it's like, hey, we practice in a barn. And like, it's no joke. It's legitimately, it's a barn, you know?
Yeah. So. But it just goes to show you that it's like the discipline of just, you know, touching the ball or whatever, stick handling and getting the drills that may like, probably set you up well for whatever situation you're going to face.
Yeah, definitely. The small space training, the touches, the repetitions. And again, it's exactly what we've talked about. It's creating positive habits. It's creating the right way to do things and doing it in a small space. It's so important. And it helps us create that repetition and create those habits, which is why I think we've had such good success.
So for the people listening, I like to ask what makes a super sports mom or a super sports parent, just because it gives perspective on what we could be doing better or what you are already doing well. So I'm just wondering, what do you think, you know, based maybe even like, you know, the pulling from your philosophy here on pharmacology, what do you think makes a super sports mom?
Well, I mean, when I think of super sports mom, I think pretty much, I realize that moms are so important. I know that I couldn't do what I do without my wife. I know the moms that are in our program, how incredible they are. Whenever I need something or ask questions or stuff needs to get done, you know, usually, no disrespect guys, but moms have it on lockdown. So, I mean, the things that to me that say, that scream, you know, super mom, number one is just, it's unconditional love. It's support for their kids. It's communication. Talking to them and letting them know that they're valued and, you know, supporting their dreams and their ideas. And I think having those as the backbone for the moms are definitely the things that stand out to my mind. You can't do it without them. Moms are they're the key.
And I know that probably everyone listening has that down. So that's encouraging. And really, it's been, you know, a pleasure to get some insight into your world. Would you tell us a bit about how people can touch base with you and like where we could find you as well? And I know that some people are definitely going to be interested in checking you out.
Yeah, sure. So our website is farmtoughhockey.com. We're definitely on Facebook and social media as well. And I do have, so if you're a hockey player, if you're a hockey mom and you have some kids that might be interested in doing something really cool in the summer, I have kids that come out and stay at the farm. So we do residence camps and I've literally had players from all over the country. I've had people from Africa, from Spain, from France. So it's a really cool place. It's sort of like going away to camp, but you get to live and stay with the instructor. And it's done on a really small group basis. So if that's something that's of interest or you'd like to learn more about, definitely just hit me up and I can send you guys out some more information. If anyone's local in the Wisconsin area or nearby, love to have you out to the farm. We always say the barn doors are always open. So, definitely reach out if there's anything that we can do to help. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you again, Pearl, cause it's great. Always catching up and, I think what you're doing with them is so great and I'm happy to help out in any small way I can.
Yeah. Well, your wisdom is really appreciated. We'll definitely be like taking, you know, a bunch of notes here on the team as to, you know, the systems that you have. I think it's really cool to learn about other ways of coaching and I love, again, you know, pharmacology. It's awesome. So thank you for coming on the podcast and indulging us.
My pleasure. It was great. And I hope everyone keeps up the great work and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Super Sports Mom podcast this time. My wish is that you feel more empowered than ever to live your dream sports life. If you get inspired from this message, amazing. Share it with a friend and pass that inspiration along. I can't wait to share the next adventure with you. See you next time. Hey, does getting the right food in front of you at the right time seem a little daunting sometimes? Well, a lot of times. You're not alone, and that is why here at Eat This for Performance, we are making people's lives easier by taking out all of the guesswork from performance eating for all of the situations you may be in. Eating out, eating in, at the grocery store, or just looking at that food down on your plate, wondering if that is the right thing to be eating. So we have something that we'd like to give you. That is our performance eating foods list. If you hop on over to et4p.com, you can grab our food list and start going right away at eating the performance foods that you want to eat. Once you have the food list, you'll be well on your way to digging into our four-part framework and really starting to become a confident athlete or a confident parent in your food selections. So have a look and definitely reach out to us if you have any questions whatsoever. We're here cheering you on as you eat for that top performance in sport and in life.